And from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, the writer of Hebrews has just in chapter 11 given us a list of some of those great faithful people from the past and their, you know, just their deeds and their faithfulness. And then he moves into the next chapter saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many of you have ever been in a large stadium filled with people? Okay. How many of you have ever been in Beaver Stadium at Penn State? Okay. On game day? Okay. It's like one of the largest stadiums in the world, and it's also one of the loudest stadiums you will ever be in. When I was a student at Penn State, I never missed a home game. I just loved going to that. I loved the atmosphere and the excitement. But the wildest, most memorable game I'd ever been to was the 2005 Penn State-Ohio State game. Okay, Ohio State had a pretty good quarterback named Troy Smith, and a daunting linebacker, A.J. Hawk. But Penn State also had a pretty good quarterback in Michael Robinson and three outstanding linebackers, Paul Posluszny, Dan Connor, and Courtney Brown. That night saw two pretty good offenses go up against two of the nation's top defenses, and Penn State was victorious, 17-10. The victory, you know, and this victory was great. But what made that game so memorable for me was the energy and the noise that was generated by the multitude of people who were there in that stadium. I mean, it was a beautiful October night, and they gave out pom-poms. It was the very first whiteout at Beaver Stadium. And the energy, you know, that was going there. You could literally feel the electricity from that energy just pulsating through your body, and it was just unbelievable. The decibel level, when the crowd roared, the decibel level was recorded to be louder than a jet engine. But as memorable as that experience was for me, friends, there is a day coming and an experience coming that will make that October evening sound like the whisper of a butterfly. Paul wrote in Philippians 2:10, there is a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And we know that is true because John, the Apostle John, was given this glimpse of it. In Revelation 7:9-14, John, after being swept away by the Holy Spirit, says, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes. Can we say white out? Okay. And they were holding palm branches. Can we say pom-poms? And they cried in a loud voice, we are... No, they didn't. No, they didn't. But seriously, this great multitude of believers that no one can count from all over the world, and we're going to be a part of this, will stand before the throne of God, and in a loud voice we will cry out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And then, these four divine, unbelievable creatures, the 24 elders and all the heavenly hosts, all the angels of heaven will join in as we cry out, Amen! Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen! Amen! Come on, join me. Amen! 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 We're just going to be, it's going to be fantastic. Can you imagine? I can't wait. Imagine all the voices and languages in unison cheering on our Lord and Savior, the King of the universe. Man, the energy, the electricity that will be pulsating through us is going to be unimaginable. It will be greater and louder than a South African soccer game filled with vuvuzelas being swung around. Thought is just makes the hair on my arm stand up. What a day that's going to be. Then one of the elders asked John, John, do you know who these people robed in white are? And I don't know what John was thinking at the time. Maybe not wanting to misinterpret what he's seeing. He says, you know who they are. And the elder says, yes, I do. They are the people who have come out of this great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, there is a lot of debate over who this multitude of people are and what they endured. Some believe that they were the people persecuted and killed during John's time. They were martyred for their faith during the Roman persecution. Others believe this multitude to be those who sometime in the future will endure and come through the time when, as the book of Revelation says, the fifth bowl of God's wrath will be poured out upon the earth. Yet still others believe the great tribulation is just the trials and temptations and the pain that all believers experience in this life. And the reason that there's so much debate is because no one knows for sure. The great tribulation isn't really described. It's not detailed out. Further, much of the book is apocalyptic. It has just symbolism and metaphors and all kinds of things. I personally believe the multitude to be the believers of all time. For the elder goes on to tell John that this multitude is before the throne of God. They are in their robes that are pure white, a sign of forgiveness, which is promised to all believers. And they serve God day and night, and God's tent is spread over them. Never again will they hunger or thirst. The sun will not oppress them with its heat, and the Lamb is at the center of the throne. He will be their shepherd, who will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. These are promises that are made to all believers, not just a certain group. So I believe this multitude to be all believers, including you and I. And this multitude of the faithful will stand before the throne of God, worshiping and praising and serving the Lord, wearing their white robes purified by the sacrifice of the Lamb. And they will live eternally in the glow of the Lord's glory and love. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more suffering. Now, 70 years before John was given this vision, before he saw this, 70 years, the Apostle Paul described this multitude as the great cloud of witnesses. In chapter 11, Paul lists some of those faithful men and women from the past and their deeds. And now in chapter 12, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Paul's great cloud of witnesses are those who have faithfully finished their race in this life and have had their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb, and now stand before the throne of God praising and serving God, and they're cheering us on. They're offering up prayers in our behalf that we may faithfully run the race that is set out for us. And each of us has our own race. No one else can run this race for us. Further, each of our races are unique. For each one of us faces our own hurdles, our own unique trials and temptations, pains and sorrows, health issues, sins and doubts. But if we will fix our eyes on Christ, we will not grow weary or lose heart, but persevere to victory. Amen? Now, if we run our race correctly, we should look like this. I believe this painting is intended to depict a person who is utterly just sorrowful for their sin, that they just collapse into the arms of Jesus' grace and mercy. But as in all art, the meaning is in the eye of the beholder. When I was in high school, I ran track. And my school track team was so small that all of us had to compete in at least four events in order to compete with the other teams. And so I ran the high hurdles, the intermediate hurdles. I threw the javelin. And then I had to run a race that I hated, the 400. And if you're not familiar with that, it's one lap around the track as fast as you can go. And I hated it because I wasn't good at it. I wasn't fast. I had no chance of winning or even placing ever. And my coach knew it. She knew I hated it. She knew I wasn't good, but she also knew I would give 100% of what I had. And so she would stand at the finish line cheering me on and waiting for me. And sometimes I would come across that line and collapse and just throw up. But many times I would just collapse and she would catch me in her arms. Friends, Paul also spoke of running the race of faith. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, "Therefore, he beats his body like an athlete training for a race." I believe he's describing this. Running our race with such perseverance and intensity that at the end we collapse exhausted into our Lord's waiting arms. Now, as we run this race through this sin-filled world, we're going to encounter, and we're even going to participate in sinful acts. And our clothes are going to get stained, they're going to get smeared. And with every sin we've committed, we've helped hammer in the nails a little bit deeper. But our coach, our good shepherd, our Lord and Savior, he waits at the finish line for us. And with our eyes fixed on him, giving our best and giving our all to follow him, and when our race through this life is over, he will catch us. And he will gently take the hammer of sin that we've been carrying in our hand. And he will restore us and give us a crown of victory and a robe that is white as snow. Friends, today we celebrate All Saints' Day. A day we celebrate the lives of those who have persevered and finally finished their race, and they're crowned and robed victorious. But on this particular All Saints Sunday, we remember and celebrate the lives of those who have crossed the finish line over this past year. And in a few minutes, we will name those names, and we will ring a bell in their honor. But right now, I just want to say, although you may be saddened and even still grieving, don't let your hearts be troubled. For because of their faith, the people we remember today are now part of that multitude that John saw. They're part of the great cloud of witnesses who cheer us on in our race of life. So let us be encouraged by their life and run our race in such a way that we too, one day, may be offered the crown of glory and have our robes be made white as snow. Amen.